join me in prayer as we're going to pray?
Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, Lord, this afternoon truly be acceptable to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be able to share God's words once again. Our passage, we begin to have this series of Back to Jesus, which really means back to the basic of knowing Jesus deeper, and especially for those who are not yet a believer of Christ, get to know this Jesus that we're going to preach throughout these couple of months. And for us who are already Christian, what is that to us, back to Jesus? It's really getting to know him better and to love him for who he claims himself to be. So we're going to do Back to Jesus series, and we have done quite a number of series. And today, what we're going to do is Jesus, our good shepherd. And Jesus is not only the shepherd, but he is our good shepherd. And we're going to read from these few passages, all right? Jesus, our good shepherd. There's two passages that come into my mind as we're going to read concerning Jesus as our good shepherd. And the most familiar one is Psalm 23, which many times is being preached during funerals. But I believe these words in Psalm 23 is so rich and so awesome that we really begin to know why Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. And of course, the second passage is taken from the New Testament concerning Jesus himself claimed that he is the good shepherd. Now, it's very difficult for us Singapore to grasp shepherd and sheep, right? We cannot understand what a shepherd is and what a sheep is. But during Jesus' time, these words were spoken. Okay, these words are spoken when our Lord was among his disciples and his own people. So they straight away, they can really comprehend, they can understand what a shepherd is and what a sheep is. We don't have shepherd in Singapore or sheep in Singapore. The only sheep that we can know or we find is in pictures. I wonder our Mandai Zoo, do they have sheep or goats? I think more of goats, right? Probably we can see sheep if we open our eyes and we understand that once a year during just before Hari Raya Haji, we can see sheep being imported to Singapore, and they are being kept at the backyard of certain mosques in Singapore, and they're going to slaughter them as what they believe the sacrificial lamb. So these are some of the things that we can aware of. If you are really aware of, you can go by next year near to the mosque. You can see the sheep, imported one, and they're going to slaughter. How they slaughter, we are not supposed to see, but there's a lot of sheep, right? The other thing is that, but goats, many of us, maybe the younger generation, have not seen goats in Singapore roaming around. Probably what we see is in the zoo, right? But for us who are of the older generation, not that old, but just older generation, we are aware of goats, right? And then the Indian man will bring the goats around with a stick, and then they will sell the goat's milk, and then after that, you see, the place is being dirty. So goats is another so-called form of so-called sheep. But sheep are different. So we have seen goats for the older generation. For the younger generation, you want to see goats, you have to go to the zoo. All right? But I have seen goats, real goats, moving around in Taiwan during my 6 years in Taiwan. Yeah, they're goats. In the rural district of Kaohsiung, Taiwan, that's where we minister. But what assurance do we have? All right? What assurance can we have when Jesus said very, very clearly that I am the good shepherd? The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. What has this got to do with us? And what assurance can we have? This was spoken to his disciples and spoken to the people among them. And they really straight away, they know what is a shepherd because it's so common. But the words in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 say, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that verse, we can claim that what Jesus has spoken. So when Jesus said that he is the good shepherd, he means us to understand that he is speaking these same words as much to us today as his disciples in the past. Now, I believe today Jesus is saying this to us. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for his own sheep. And this is what happens at the cross of Jesus. He sacrificed himself for his sheep. Now, my attempt this afternoon, really, is to show you what sheep are like, to my some of the research, what sheep are like, and also to understand the work of a shepherd, so that we can, after understanding this, I pray that we can better appreciate Jesus as the good shepherd, right? Sheep, we know that, we take mutton soup or that, but really, what are sheep like, right? What type of character? And Bible many times refer us as sheep that go astray. Many times we are referred as sheep in the Bible that we go astray very easily, and truly sheep can really go astray. They are the most timid animals that God has created, and they are the most naive. Once they get out of this place, let's say from here they get out until the amphitheater, they will never know how to get back. So we can never understand, but truly sheep are the most timid, most so-called adorable creature created by God. So three things I'm going to share with you this afternoon. Now, three things to note, all right? The first is that a shepherd, and this is taken from Psalm 23. What is shepherd is all about? What the shepherd does, okay? What does a shepherd do? Secondly, a good shepherd. Jesus says a good shepherd. The meaning of a good shepherd. A shepherd and a good shepherd, there's a lot of difference, right? And then thirdly, the most important, Jesus as the only good shepherd. Psalm 23 is a very familiar one, and I want to share with you. There's a lot of beautiful words, beautiful assurance in this psalm, right? Here it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not be in want. In the Mandarin version, it is very clear, Yehovah是我的牧者,我必不缺乏, I lack nothing. But for the English, it just said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But it's more than that. Yehovah是我的牧者,我必不缺乏, I lack nothing in him. And verse 2, it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. The first three verses, right, in him we lack nothing. That means we lack nothing. But the wonderful thing is, it's the second verse, it says that the shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So what does it mean that the shepherd leads the sheep into green pasture? It is known that sheep will not lie down and sleep and rest unless they are very quiet down, unless they are free from all agitation, and unless they are fully fed and at peace, then they can lie down and really rest. But here the shepherd, and in this psalm it says that the sheep is able to rest in green pastures. That means there's something that the shepherd is able to do to feed the lamb, to feed the sheep, make sure that the sheep is free from all agitation, and they are quiet down, and then they can rest. Or else asleep the whole night too, the sheep would not be able to rest. They would just walk, run about, and it causes a lot of disturbance for the whole flock. So how does this apply to us? The psalmist in Psalm 4 and verse 8 says, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. If we put Psalm 23 verse 2 and Psalm 4 together, right? In peace, Psalm 4 verse 8 says, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How much unrest are you today? Or how much unrest am I? Sleep is something that we all require. And a lot of us go through a sleepless night, somehow cannot sleep, especially for the elderly. But somehow the Lord is able to make us sleep, not only sleep physically, but rest in him. What is in your heart? What is that unrest in your heart? The first thing is you really want to rest in him, and you want to be like what the psalmist says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, is that you have to make the good shepherd your shepherd. The good shepherd is going to let you lie down and rest in him. My encouragement is trust him. He will do it. And secondly, in verse 2, it says what? What else it says? All right? It says that, he leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. Before this, sheep are animals that is really so-called blur. They will continue to eat in the pastures where it is until the grass runs out dry. They will still continue because they don't know where to go to find green grass. So the shepherd will lead them to new fresh grass so they can eat. And this is how the Lord leads us each day of our life, right? He leads me beside quarters. And this picture was very cute, the shepherd giving the sheep a wash. But more than that, if you look at the sheep just behind this picture, sheep are very timid animals. And it's like the sound, they will be very frightened. It's the same as us. We are worried a lot of things. And if the river is really full of current sound, the sheep will not go there and drink. But here we see the picture of he leads me beside quiet waters. Quiet waters, right? What does quiet waters mean? It means the part of the stream or the river that is flowing where there is no current, violent current. A part of stream or river where no current is visible. So it's flowing, fresh water gushing down, but it's no current. So the sheep can just go there and drink. And in this case, the shepherd clean up the sheep. This sheep must be dirty and cleans it up. So this is in our life. Fresh flowing water, no current, the Lord knows, and He knows how to bring us. Because any gushing of sound, any gushing of water, the sheep will be very frightened, and they will never go there. And once they are not at the near the water, they will not drink, and they will continue, so-called, to drink whatever water is in the field. And many of these water potholes, it will be dirty and full of muddy water, and they will drink. As they drink, the insects or whatever to grow into their nasal cavity, which I will explain to you, God, the shepherd, used oil to clean it. So besides water, quiet waters, and that's how the Lord refresh us. Be still before the Lord, and He's going to see us through. No gushing water. We are very frightened of things. Reading the newspaper, reading everything, it gives us unrest. But God will bring that freshness through His word each day. This is a familiar one, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We can never understand the valley because there's no valley in Singapore. But valley is between two mountains, very high mountains. And sometimes when you're right down at the valley, it's just totally darkness. And you can't even see the sky because the mountain covers it. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Very interesting. Later I'll show you. Okay. Valley. Even if I have to walk through the valley of shadow of death, whatever it is you're going through, the darkness in your life, I will fear no evil, that the psalmist says. Why? You are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Firstly, the rod is a protection. A rod is just like a baton to drive away animals. Right? I believe David uses a lot of that besides his sling. He uses a baton to drive away any enemies, and God will do that to us in our life, using His word to drive away whatever that's evil. Your rod and your staff. Okay, the staff is something that comforts us. I'm going to show you what the staff is. All right, the staff is something like that. And the bishop always carry a staff. And then the youngest priest, whoever will carry the staff, he will never carry the staff. The bishop, someone will carry. And just now I asked Edmund to carry my staff, and I walked behind him. Well, what is the use of the staff? There are many purposes, because the shepherd is not able to reach out the sheep when the sheep fall into the hole. So what is that extended hand of the shepherd to pull out the little lamb or the sheep. So the staff is able to comfort. So only shepherd uses a staff. Is an extension of the hand. And it is said that sheep always goes astray. And what this shepherd does is use a staff to pull the sheep back into the main fold. And God uses His word many times to pull us back into His word so that we will not go astray. But it is said, I don't know how true it is, that if this sheep, after pulling it back and go astray, like Casey, okay, I pull him back, but Casey keep on going astray. What the shepherd does, actually, the staff behind, right at the tip of the staff, is a sharpened, very sharp, this is not. And what the shepherd does is not to just to prick Casey's butt, right? Just to prick his butt and to make him feel the pain, and he will come back. That is for the stubborn sheep. But the staff is for comforting, right? It's for comforting. Pull back. And God many times uses his word to comfort us. But we have to make him our shepherd. Okay, their staff. So why does this verse say, your rod and your staff, they comfort? Because that is something that God uses. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All right, you anoint my head with oil. Okay, here's this, the shepherd will anoint the sheep with oil. So what has this got to do? Right? Anointing the head with oil. We can never understand this. As I said earlier, if the sheep, you do not take care of it, it will continue to drink whatever water is there. And many times during the summer times, they will drink. And many of these little worms or maggots will go into the nasal cavity of the sheep. And it causes irritation to the sheep. And if this flies, summer flies, whatever, goes into the nasal cavity, and if it's not cleared, the sheep will run amok. They will run about exhaustion in order to get rid of the irritation in the nasal cavity. And they will knock against wall, against trees, against rock, and just in order to get rid of it. And this is what in many times in our life too. There are irritation in our life, someone that irritates, something that really makes us irritated. So the shepherd does one beautiful thing. He anoint my head with oil. Anoint my head with oil. What does this mean? Okay, this is the picture of the shepherd anointing the head of the sheep. It's not to make the sheep's fluffy wool to grow better. All right, we always apply olive oil on our head. Hopefully the hair will grow, right? And this is, no, why does the shepherd does this? I mean, the sheep, why would we put oil? Because of the thing, and what the shepherd does is that really use the horn. Can I ask Edmund to come forward? I'm going to show something. Yeah. The shepherd will use his horn of the ram's horn. In this case, his hand, because if I were to pour on his head, he would be too oily. So what the shepherd does is he pours the oil. He poured the oil onto the head of the sheep. Okay, he poured the oil in order, right, in order for the sheep to receive the oil. And once this oil goes into the, not only the head, but nasal cavity especially. And this oil will go into the, till the head of the sheep, and then put this oil into the nasal cavity, into the nose of the sheep, all right? And then, after a minute or two, the shepherd will tilt the head of the sheep down. And as they tilt the sheep down, the oil from the nasal cavity will flow out. And once this flow out, all the maggots, the eggs of the fly, everything will flow out, follow the oil out. And then the sheep can rest. How does it apply to us? Many times, the oil represents the feeling of the Spirit of God, the irritation in our life, and a good shepherd is able to do that. We get depressed, we get, what are you going through? We take medication in order for us to rest, in order for us to be more relaxed. Yet, God is able to use His Spirit to anoint us so that we can rest in Him. So this is a beautiful, he anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The word is surely, definitely. The word surely, okay. What does the word surely mean? The word surely is firmly, very, very firmly, very steadily, confidently, solidly, securely, unhesitating, unsevering, determinedly, assuredly. So the word surely means that. Definitely God will do it. And surely. When someone says that, surely, it means that the speaker, the person who said it, right? The speaker, when someone said, surely I will do this to you. Surely I will take revenge. Surely I will make sure you had it. It means that it's to emphasize the speaker's firm belief that what they are saying is true. Surely I will do this to you. It means I will do it firmly. Definitely I will do it. So when the Lord says, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord. This means that the Lord is firmly, steadily, confidently, solidly, securely saying, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. The word shall follow gives us the indication that he will do it, he shall do it, if we follow him, if we follow the good shepherd. Well, this is Psalm 23. Beautiful psalm, what the shepherd does. Okay, second point, okay. A good shepherd, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Another beautiful verse, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. All right, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. It is said that a good shepherd understands a good deal of his sheep, and he does it no matter how many sheep he has. Okay. A common shepherd in during Jesus' time will be a few hundred, all right, 100 or 200, and some even as much as 1,000 sheep. But here it says, Jesus, I know my sheep. That means the shepherd, a real shepherd, good shepherd, will know every of his sheep. That's why you say in a church setting, a pastor is able to know his sheep, so-called his members. It's around 200, 100 plus 200, 250 still can. Above that, it's very difficult to care. And that's where leaders come in. Even for us, before we reach 200, the shepherd cares have to be distributed. So here it says that, I know my sheep. This is really fantastic. God, Jesus, I know my sheep. Okay, what is it? Knowing the sheep, all right? I know my sheep. A common shepherd can have, thousands of sheep. But he knows every single sheep. Why? Why does he know? Because he lives among them. A shepherd don't have, nighttime I go into my house. No, he stays among the place where the sheep are. That's why Jesus said, I'm the gate. The shepherd is in the pen. So he stays there in the night. He will sleep at the gate there to protect the sheep. The hired one will just, after nighttime, he will go back to his house. That's why when Jesus was born, the shepherds were out in the field watching their flocks by night. So the shepherd have no more home. He lives among the sheep. And last week, Reverend Bertram preached about Emmanuel, God is with us. He lives among his sheep. And a good shepherd, it says that he treats each sheep as his own children and cares for each one of them. It's no more an animal. The hired, Jesus said, will be, don't care about the sheep. But because the good shepherd lives among them, he treats every sheep as his own children. The good shepherd actually, it says that, communicates with his sheep, right? He talks to his sheep. And this is what God does to us. He speaks to us. And his sheep understands what the shepherd says. Right? Compared to us, Jesus knows us, but do we understand what Jesus is saying many times? It is known that each shepherd have a unique way of communicating with his sheep. Right? Like the pastor have a certain ways of communicating with each one of you. And this shepherd's language, that this shepherd, particular shepherd used, you and I do not understand, but the sheep does. The sheep does. Okay. This is really wow, I tell you. The sheep understand. The sheep knows and can recognize the way the shepherd whistle or talk. The sheep can know the motion of his hand when he take a rod. The sheep know what's happened, really. So very, very beautiful. But do we know Jesus enough, right? And then, so when the Lord says in John 10:14, I know my sheep, it does not only that the Lord knows who are His, but He knows all of us intimately, very closely. A shepherd knows which of his sheep has a... Let me just show you some of the pictures that I took from the internet concerning sheep, all right? Yeah, he can have thousands of sheep, but everyone he knows. So 200 over members here, God knows every one of you, all right? Which sheep needs cuddling, which sheep needs injured to carry on the shoulder. Let me show you the slides, and before I go down into more detail. Okay. This one is, I don't know what is this doing, right? I thought it was so cute. Like, each of one are so unique and so cute to the Lord, even though we are really stubborn sometimes, right? This is okay, and this is very blurred type of sheep. Okay, these are all pictures to arouse the thing in you. All right. Okay, a shepherd knows which of his sheep has a lame foot, that means injured feet. A good shepherd knows which of his sheep need to be carried upon his shoulder. That's how I said. See, when a shepherd carries the sheep on the shoulder, there's something very unique. Carries on the shoulder. The shoulder always represents a place of authority, high enough. And when a sheep carry on the shoulder, the leg of the sheep hanging near to the shepherd's heart. All right? And the shepherd carry the sheep, and the shepherd is able to hear the beating of the heart, the heart's beating of the sheep. And the sheep can feel, because the leg is hanging near the shepherd's heart, and the sheep can feel the heartbeat of the shepherd carrying. And some sheep not only need to be carried, but sheep need to be carried, cuddled. Hey, this is what God, Jesus, can do to us. Cuddling us. A good shepherd knows which of his sheep is frightened and needs a cuddling. A good shepherd knows which sheep has torn wool, all right? And most important of all, some of his sheep are not much a beauty, like all of us, not all of us, some of us. Not a beauty to other people, irritating specimen. Yet a good shepherd will not be ashamed of each of his sheep, because let's say 1,000 sheep, each one is different, and some are just not lovable. Yet to the shepherd, he is not ashamed of them. And that's what Jesus does. He loves. The good shepherd will say to another shepherd, you think this shepherd is not nice? But they are mine. So the Lord says to each one, to others, you are mine. A good shepherd knows his sheep and which one always gets into trouble. So when the Lord says in John 10:14, I know my sheep, it means that not only the Lord knows who are his, but he knows about everything intimately about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us thoroughly. Question we are not asked is, do we know him? Can we hear his way of expression, his love to us? Right? And the last point, I know my sheep, my own know me. Do we know him? Good enough. And lastly, the good shepherd, the only good shepherd, which is Jesus himself. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus says, all right? I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what Jesus did on the cross. His future, even he says that isn't for the future, that is all of us. He who is a hired and not a shepherd does not know his sheep and sees the wolf coming. He will leave the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches, the evil one snatches and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired and cares nothing for his sheep. Cares for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd does not know his sheep. Verse 16. Beautiful words of Jesus talking about the future. Not only the sheep that belongs to him. And Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I have other sheep that is not of the 4:30 service, Saturday service. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Let us recognize who the shepherd is and join him. But there are many out there that needs to hear his voice to follow him. And that's why we Saturday service, and I always want to share exciting things happen. We are bringing other sheep, lost sheep, into this kingdom. Like what I shared before the service starts. Someone came to know the Lord, baptized, rid of all the idols. You know, it's big, huge. Goddess of Mercy, Buddha. There's another one, they call it Amitabha. It's an idol. It's not just a chanting, but it's an idol. So all get rid of it. So it's such a beautiful thing that we need to draw people in. So Jesus said very clearly, I have other sheep that's outside. We enjoy. How do we respond to this? Let us recognize this shepherd. Let us acknowledge him that he's a shepherd and he will do whatever I've said. But the last thing is that there are many out there that needs to know him. And what are we doing? And we want many, many more people to come to know him. Father sheep, they are not of this fold. I must bring them so they will listen to my voice. They will be one flock. How do we respond to this? First part is to respond that really we need this shepherd and we want him to be our shepherd. Secondly, we want to bring others into the fold. Let us pray. Amen. Lord, we have heard your word and we want to respond to you, Lord. That you are indeed the great shepherd, the good shepherd, not only the great, but the good shepherd. Lord, we pray, even as we respond to you, allow you to be our shepherd. God, we are aware of what you said, Lord. You have other sheep that are not of this fold, that you must bring them in also, that they may listen to your voice, so there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Help us, Lord, to respond to you, firstly, to receive you and allow you to be our shepherd, and secondly, Lord, to bring others into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.